Hey guys, Steve here, Potent Ponics. Today we're going to talk about
growing with fishes. Growing with fishes.
Hey, welcome to the Growing with Fishes podcast, episode 351. We have a reoccurring guest here who hasn't been on the phone quite a while. We have Mr. Green Jeans Garden back again. Thanks a lot for joining us, Mr. Green Jeans.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Really? Episode what? 351.
We're over 1,000 hours of podcast now, total across all the episodes.
Wow, that is a lot of content. A lot of really good content, too. Huh.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. You've been on a bunch of them, especially back a couple of years ago. You were quite frequent on the show, and we had a slightly different format. These days, we mostly just do an interview format. And we used to have more of a panel type thing, but now we switched the panel over to That Smoke Show, and we just do like it's more of a screw around show and a fun topic show and all around cannabis, but we get off topic sometimes over there. This show is more of a serious science and one-on-one interview type thing. So sometimes we have a co-host as well. West Engine's been a little bit busy and Marty's been very busy, but they will be back again in the future. Before we get started with the episode, I did want to mention real quick for anyone that we haven't announced it on the show yet, I will be teaching and let me turn off the dark mode there. I will be teaching along with Bob Ryder of Olive Branch Aquaponics an aquaponics masterclass May 22nd through 26th. It will be for all crops, if not cannabis specific. This goes for lettuce, fruit trees, all kinds of medicinal herbs. We cover over 100 different types of plants, tons of different beneficial insect information, biocontrols for pest management, aquaponic design, all the plumbing stuff, lots of how-tos, and all kinds of things like that. Lots of cool additional things that we have planned for the course as well. It's at a farm that is works with Langston University. An Oklahoma University, so it's at a accredited aquaponics farm in Oklahoma. So be sure to check it out. You can sign up over at aquaponicmasterclass.com. We have tons of cool stuff that we'll be showing off there, and lots of photos from farms around the world that I've worked with, different examples of how different systems work, and things like that. Lots of how-to guides, over 1,000 slides in the slide deck alone, and we'll have. Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff. Great food available for lunch that'll be mostly from the farm that we're at, and it'll be a great time. If you're looking for an in-person intensive 5-day course, 40 plus hours of education, this is the course to take. We have so much we're going to cover each day, so we might even go over 8 hours on some of the days that we'll be teaching. But we have a beautiful place to teach indoors, and then we'll teach the hands-on portions at the farm there. Just down the street, and it'll be a really good time. So be sure to check it out. There's hotel information and everything right there. And then this class will also be released as an online course in June. We're going to be filming a few things there at the farm, but most of it's being filmed as we speak and pre-recorded. We just have to record a couple of things on site there. So we will have that up in June. So if you can't attend in person, you can always attend, after the fact. Once we get the fully uploaded, so you should check that out. We also have our aquaponic cannabis class and pest class, which we'll mention at the end of the episode. Alrighty, Mr. Green Jeans, how's it going, man? I was going through with my fiance. I was going through the other day my seed collection, and she was like, "Hey, all these seeds are from one person," and I was like, "Yeah, you're about 20 to 30% of my seed collection is actually awesome stuff from you over the years." So I wanted to give you a big thank you and a shout out. I've definitely given away a bunch of your stuff to people that asked me for beans. I brought your stuff to a couple of seed exchanges and stuff. So I'd try to get your gear back out into the community as well. So thanks a lot for joining us today. Tell us a little about yourself. Why don't you introduce yourself to people that don't know you, and And then we'll go from there. For a lot of you guys that don't know, Mr. Green Jeans has been breeding cannabis since the 70s. He's responsible for a bunch of famous cultivars like Cherry Bomb, White Wizard, a whole bunch of other ones that he was responsible for in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. He's a legend in the cannabis industry and someone that took me a while to hunt down. You and I'm trying to think, you took quite a few months to find. Gypsy Nirvana, I think, is the best get that I've gotten so far in terms of hunting people. No, second best get that I've gotten. I have one of two interviews that he's ever done. The best one I've still done is finding Mr. Green from those awesome videos back in the day. He's a great dude in person, by the way. Really cool dude, and someone I have a lot of love for, but you are definitely number three on that list in terms of how long it took me to hunt you down.
Yeah, that was a really cool that was quite a thing. I mean, because I remember when you guys contact, and I thought to myself, I thought they probably thinking, because I already knew there was another Mr. Green Jean, sort of another, there's a bunch of imposters probably, but or whatever. But another guy calling himself Mr. Green Jeans on YouTube, and I was thinking, man, maybe these guys probably want them, But then, and I was like, and then after we corresponded a few times, and I watched some of your podcasts, and I was like, wow, these guys are great. I'm coming in with them, right away. So, and I got involved with you guys. You guys got me into the, I wasn't, I'd never even considered medical cannabis before. I mean, it's not that I didn't consider it. I was aware of it going on and stuff, but I wasn't, thinking of it that way. I was a recreational user. And now, thanks to you guys, I know that all cannabis use is medical. You know what I mean? It's what I've learned here. And so, yeah, and I would say that my association with you, Steve, has definitely gotten me, has pushed me through quite a few, times in the last couple of years when I felt like quitting or, just kind of getting a lot of low energy. I don't feel like doing this, but then, I've gotten, well, because a lot of the genetics too, you've sent me a bunch of great seeds as well. As a matter of fact, we have a bunch of good jams going right now that I'm anxious to that we've got to start planting. Like that, you gave me a seed for, there was the Flow Chem Dog plant, and I forget what the origin of that was, but that plant is really nice. And it's it's in Brandywine. I got that from you. And of course the Jamaican Blue Mountain X Orange Hill, those are amazing. That's some real fantastic stuff. Some of these things that took a while growing them, cloned them and grew them out a couple of times before trying to decide what to cross with. I noticed these days, that's a re that's I'm doing that a lot more, is because I think the first, like, if you don't have a male, right? You just have a female, or you have a clone or whatever, and you've got to outcross. It's very important to make that choice carefully. You know what I mean? That one move, that one first move. Sometimes you have to just do with whatever's there. You know what I mean? Because that's what you've got to do. But if you can possibly, grow something out a couple times, really get to know it, make that first choice very carefully. And yeah, so yeah, man, we've got a, I you know what was it, the one from it was in Oregon, it was the Klamath, the KFK, the Klamath Falls Kush. I had to get rid of that actually, because it was a grumpy little thing that wouldn't stop flowering unless you gave it, like, whatever, 18 hours or whatever. I wasn't willing. My veg light is pretty much 16 hours maximum, maybe possibly 17 if you're really grouchy. But that KFK was, that was on another a level light wise. Otherwise, it was fantastic plant, really great. So I outcrossed, across that. And That's going to be a good jam too. That'll be something for the people up north. Cross that with some of the fast flowering blackberry kush and stuff like that. Something to make it something that'll finish quick. Which I haven't, you know, I'm not really, I wouldn't say I'm not an indica guy, but I haven't really been much of an indica person for the last, you know, 20 years. I haven't really been messing around that much with those kind of genetics. But I'm getting back into it. Thanks to my influences with my friends. And
Yeah,
yeah.
that Brandywine won the Dude Bros Cup. I forget what year it was in Denver.
Beautiful, beautiful
Yeah,
plant. And
and then
the
there's the Blue Mountain Orange Hill Cross was another good one from when I was down there. So yeah, lots of good stuff there.
Yeah. Yep. And I still I haven't you gave me those the seeds of the Thai, which I haven't gotten to, but I'm going to get to this very week as soon as possible because I'm really excited about that. And I want to get those going out doors here because we're, you know, Southern California. Maybe we can make some trees.
Yeah, those will get huge. Those will get, 15, 20, 25 feet tall. If anyone's interested in those, hit me up on DMs. I actually do have some available right now. I have the Thai Buddha Massive, which is the temple Thai, which I've talked about quite extensively. This is the F2s. This has more peach and more banana has been sifted out of it. So it's a little bit more stinkier, a little bit better, frostier, than the original rounds. And then, we have Sweet Temple Thai, which is the Sweet Thai crossed with the Temple Thai, which the Sweet Thai was the only strain that I found that had decent coffee notes in it when I was sifting over in Thailand. So that's a cool, fun cross. And then we have the Sugar Cane crossed with Thai, which is the Buddha Sugar. And then I have a little bit of low high available right now too. So hit me up if you're listening or watching the show and you need any of those. We'll talk offline. You have a whole bunch of cool stuff that you just sent me information on recently that is coming out soon. Tell me about what you've been cooking up with your crosses and kind of what are the different traits with each one.
Oh man, well, yeah, I mean it's just let's see, let me see. Got some pedigrees here. I noticed that everybody's kind of getting back into I have a really old Jack Herrera clone. I have a 21, I think she's about 21 right now. And so I did cross that with a cherry bomb. That's gonna be fantastic. Yeah, there you go, the Jack and cherry. I don't need that. That's exactly it. And yeah, the triple berry kush, that's gonna be nice too. Well, see that now that's just a wild shot in the dark, but that both sides of that, both families are so good that there's not gonna, you know, it's just but I have no idea. I have no idea where that's going. Jack and Cherry, I can guess. That's going to be, I mean, that's going to be, and I haven't grown that out either, but I know because, you know, the Jack Herrera plant, that always throws fantastic. It always does its thing. Everything that comes out of it is very Jack Herrera, which I guess is what's a really important characteristic is probably maybe the liquor. There's kind of a licorice terpene. Maybe you know which one that is, Steve. I don't know. But that's very classic. And of course it has the really up, you know, very up stimulating high and everything. And both, you know, and the cherry bomb just, you know, gonna make some giant trees again. That's gonna be a big potent, you know, sativa. So the two of those together, that's just gonna be, you know, that's gonna be really fantastic. Yeah, and that one, the little Jack Kush, that is got a little, yeah, right, because it's got only a small amount. It's only got the Jack Herrera in the grandfather or grandmother position there. So it's going to be, you're going to get kind of an F2 breakdown from the little Jack Kush, probably. Is that what I said? I imagined it did. Maybe not. Yeah. And yeah. And yeah. The other You see, the thing is, this is all the stuff that I want to, you know, I don't breed down, you know what I mean? It's like these are the things that I'm most excited about myself. There you go, Cherry Bomb and White Wizard right together. Those are White Wizard, not my oldest strain, but I started working on that in maybe 2000, I think, or 2002, something like that. Cherry Bomb, I have going back to 1976. White Wizard, I started. It's a it, White Wizard comes from White Widow, obviously. It's only about 7/8 White Widow and about 1/8 my Triple X because I had to do a kind of a fancy back crossing scheme to get it. But White Wizard is also inbred. It says F79. That means that it's line bred from a plant that was generation number 6 to another plant that was generation number 8 to create that. So it's a line breeding. I mean, intergenerational cross, you know what I mean? And so I basically only went about that far. The reason why I kept those clones of that generation to keep on remaking White Wizard was because I figured not to go any further than maybe the 6th, 7th, 8th generation. So whereas something like Cherry Bomb was probably inbred, eight kush my ass. What is that? The Kushmaya. Yeah, the KMA. Oh man. Whew. Okay. So that's like some ridiculous potent indica right there. Because the back crossed Blackberry Kush, double back cross Blackberry Kush. And the VW there is Blackberry Kush and White Wizard, so it's the White Wizard male in that position. That's some really, the thing about that, yeah, the thing about that is that the White Wizard, we found out through using a flower press and making rosin, which you guys turned me on to. We made flower rosin and found out that the White Wizard is actually got a very strong kind of a topical painkilling effect. You can, you rub some of it on your gums or whatever, and it's gonna knock your headache away. So that I think that KMA has real potential for being some kind of a medical, because the indica is very, it's a heavy indica. It's a couchy indica. You're gonna go to sleep. And then the White Wizard is providing some kind of topical painkilling effect, which is definitely there. I mean, we were amazed when we made the rosin, and we're using it topically, rub it on, or mixed with some oil or something like that. And it's a very strong painkilling effect, which is something I didn't even. I didn't believe it until I saw it. You know what I mean? I used to think people talk about cannabis being an effective painkiller, and I always thought, oh well, that's just because it puts you in the mood to be able to withstand pain. I always sort of wrote it off to that was my opinion about it. I kind of thought I was kind of skeptical about the idea that there was true painkilling elements in there, but apparently there is. So yeah, that would have it. That KMA kush my ass. I don't know, is
I
that
know, I noticed
what?
going through your seeds the other day that you use the Feijoa Kush a lot in your breeding. Can
Yes.
you
Oh
tell us
yeah.
about that and what it, why you chose that over a lot of the other stuff you have to work with?
Yeah. Well, that's just a particularly, you see, that's a really good male. That one plant. Sometimes when you find a male, and yeah, you could see it right in a bunch of these pedigrees. That male is just real killer. And that is coming from that's Blackberry Kush, and that's got Blizz and White Wizard and Jack Herrera up in there. And the Blizz plant is a very was a was kind of like a kicked up Blue Dream plant, I would say. It's really it's kind of like I've still got the clone of that. It's kind of like Blue Dream to the X. Power, which is, and I, the Blue Dream clone that I used was, I'm pretty sure it's the one, it was called the Santa Cruz cut, if anybody's ever heard of that one, because I had tried a couple of different Blue Dream cuts and for me, I just really liked that one, the Santa Cruz one. It reminded me, it had a very haze kind of quality. To me, a haze is like something that literally leaves kind of a sweet smell, smoke in the air. Sometimes it's purple. We were talking about this before, I think, or blue, like a bluish kind of hangs in the room, you know. And the smell is the kind of smell that when you walk into the room and some people have been smoking a haze, you're going to be like, you know, wow, what was that you guys were smoking? Man, that smells fantastic. So it's like that to me is classic haze. And I think that Blue Dream, that original, the cut that I used, the Blue Dream cut that I used to make that. So the Feijoa Kush is a very, it's you know, again, it's a hybrid of indicas and sativa qualities because, but you know, I guess I would say it is a, you know, it's got a there. It's very sweet. It's got that kind of sweet skunky thing, and then there's the bit of the haze quality to it. But it is a thick leafed. It's a thick leafed indica, or I don't want to say the broad leaf. I don't know. It's, you know, it is kind of actually it is a broad leaf if people count on that kind of thing. But I would say more to me more important trait is the thickness of the leaves, like leaves that are kind of leathery, almost, you know, kind of thick leafed, and that Feijoa Kush has that for sure. And why I called pineapple because, well, feijoa, as you know, Steve, is pineapple. It's pineapple guava is really what and then I guess it's feijoa probably is properly to pronounce it. People correct me, but yeah, pineapple guava. So that's why I called it pineapple jack. Oh, those are good too. I have seeds of that. There's a bunch of stuff on here that if you just imagine, you know, you don't have to. You know, just ask me if anybody's interested. For example, yeah, that pineapple jack, that's fantastic. And I've crossed those together. I've got F2 seeds of that. That's just killer. That's just killer. Yeah, man. Oh, you know, and the cherry lemon balm, the SLB, the super lemon balm, that's a cross between the greenhouse seeds, super lemon haze. Won in I think it was 2011, won the sativa category in you know, I think in Amsterdam at Cannabis Cup. So, and that was a nice plant that was crossed with cherry bomb, made it beautiful. That's a clone that I've been keeping for at least the last 12, 15 years. Not gonna let them go that one too soon. Yeah, there's a lot of success in keeping clones and progeny testing them, you know, testing them. That's a real thing. I mean, that's a big deal. When you find a male that really works good, you know, that kicks the right stuff, and the best way to find that is to test, you know, to breed them, you know. And this is why everybody's got a label, you know. You get a label. The best thing to do is try five males and or put them all together. Just don't even you know, don't even just use all of their pollen on one female or something like that. You know, just to make sure just to cover all the bases. But yes. I don't
We
know
had
the
someone in chat asking, have you seen much
yes.
mutants, especially the double sawtooth trait, or
Yep.
other mutated leaf traits? And how often do you see them? I
Oh,
know that
double sawtooth.
one of
Yeah.
your traits, just to add to this, one of the seeds that you were talking about had like a super high chance of twins as well, if I remember physics correctly. Was it you? I think it
Definitely,
was, yeah, it
yes.
was you that was telling me about that, where you had a
There
seed that was like 60, 70% twins or something like
yes.
that.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them. Right. And I kept on looking. This is cool. This is really interesting. I remember we kind of got into this a little bit before, and I was telling you that I learned about the term apomixis or an apomictic cross. You ever heard of that? Really cool. So the idea is if you ever found a set of twins that were a male and female, right? Then theoretically, if they are crossed together, that would make an instant strain. You would have, or you'd have an instant, cutting out a lot of variability right there. You're crossing two twins that are from the same seed. Only thing is, I've never ever found a male and female. Most twins are a pair of boys, and about, maybe a third of them are a pair of girls. But yeah, I did have a batch. It was a batch of White Wizard. It was somewhere, I think it may be in the fourth generation, fifth generation, off of one plant. As I was doing a lot of progeny testing, I was moving forward carefully, and by that time when I was working on White Wizard. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was where all those twins were. Yeah, that blew my mind. I was like, wow. And I learned about, yeah, apomictic crosses, apomixis, apomixis, if anybody wants to Google it. I think it's an apomictic crosses. So yeah, twins. Oh, yeah.
I've never gotten male female twins. I've always gotten male male or female
They're
female.
almost always male male, and a few of them are female female, right? But it's still looking for that male female. And I've had at least 30 and separated them and labeled them the whole and raised them up, and still. But I did have that plant and I lost it. Oh man, the chill Jill. And but I've got somewhere a plant that, and I've got also a plant that is supposed to be Chill Jill's daughter. And I told you this was the plant that was, we called her the nun, right? Because you couldn't get seeds off her. And you explained some of this to me, Steve, about the different possibilities of what
Yeah,
that
it was
could
a
be.
triplet. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
it was a triplet.
possibly. It was a great plant. Otherwise, fantastic. We loved everything about that plant. But you could not, we called her the nun, you could not get seeds. Impossible. So yeah, it's pretty funny. The nun.
Sometimes you can get that effect too if you have a strain that has like super mutated pestles. The pollen can't physically get to the ovary, so
I think that's what
That's
it
like the
was.
other, that's like, I've seen that too, where you have like super, they're almost like stunted, or
Yes,
like the
they look
growth
like little
gets
clubs.
stunted.
They
Yeah,
look
they
like
have
little,
little, they're like
they
little,
had a.
almost like flowers, or like a ping pong fucking paddle kind of.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's exactly it, man. That's exactly it. There was something about the shape of the pistils. Now, here's the thing is, I think, according to my records, and I do have a plant that purports to be Chill's daughter. So apparently, I did at one time get maybe three or four seeds. I've had the plant for a long time, constantly tried to breed it. And apparently, I did at some point get a few seeds off it. And the plant that is marked CW, that should be her daughter, definitely smells and tastes and in every way seems to be her daughter. I just kind of don't believe it because I didn't get any other seeds off her. You know what I mean? It's like, really? Are you really Jill's daughter?
We
Prove
had
it.
another question from chat. So I got here late. Sorry if the info's already been asked, but can you tell me more about cherry bomb and what effects does it have?
Yeah, cherry bomb, man. I got it. I didn't. I got it from seeds, a number of seeds in a batch of cannabis that my friend, got, and in New York City. And I recently checked with him, and it was actually 1976. I guess it's sometimes I had said on Overgrow and some of the other things I remembered like 78 or 79, but I recently checked with my friend, and he confirmed that when he was living on 6th Street in New York City, that would have been 1976. So, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a cherry bomb is a big, very aggressive, very healthy kind of sativa dominant. What it was a Maui Wowie. It's supposed to be, it came from Hawaii. Right. And but what is Maui Wowie? And when I first got it, it was a little bit variability. There was some tendency. Some of the plants were a little bit more indica then, and I was already kind of breeding a bunch of indica types at that time in the mid 70s. So I wasn't as, so I kind of steered it. The plants that I liked in their very first and second generation were more of like a honey, sweet sativa, but still they're still pretty dark. They have dark brown. It's not a light colored light green sativa. You know, it's kind of a, the leaves are dark, and I'd say the notes, all the terpenes of cherry bomb are pretty much dark and earthy and kind of there is a, you know, there's a metallic, very strong kind of metallic aftertaste, which is kind of like the cherry kind of thing. It's really noticeable in the exhale on the aftertaste. And the people have told me, medical users have told me that it's a fantastic, quite a few people have said to me it's the best medical strain, you know, they've ever tried. And I'm not, I didn't, I don't know. But I have noticed that it, you know, it gives you that feeling of kind of like feeling like you got pillows tied to your feet or whatever. Feet feel really nice and soft, and you know, there's no pain. So I kind of, I can tell that I can see that it probably right. It probably is a good medical, good kind of a medical strain. But like I said, it's not a, some, one friend of mine said, you know, I don't like cherry bomb. He says it's got that, there's this, he didn't say cat piss terpene. He said ammonia. He was like, it's kind of got an ammonia kind of thing going. Sometimes that can be due to, you know, harvesting, I'm sure, you know, harvesting problems and things like that. But I think it's really, I think it's one of the terpenes. I think there's kind of an ammonia, kind of a, I don't know. It's and when you smoke it, it can be kind of acrid, maybe. And then maybe it's kind of an old school, you know, maybe it is like a throwback kind of strain, remind you of that good stuff we used to get back in the 70s. Kids don't believe it, you know, like, I mean, you guys are smoking shit back then. Look at these pictures in High Times, man. They're just, that stuff was crap. But you know, actually it really wasn't. So it was really good. Well, it depends on, you know, depending on what you got. But I think cherry bomb is, it definitely does remind you of it is a, like a throwback kind of a experience. Definitely has a, you know, you feel like you're, because I tried not to change it. I tried to keep it in you know, in the same kind of state. I okay, so that's the thing, is I didn't really, you know, change anything with it. I started with six maybe or seven seeds, I think, to begin with, and you know, had males and females and never outcrossed or incrossed. So I inbred the cherry bomb at least 13 generations before I started trying to distribute it, because I realized at that point, oh boy, this is a big responsibility, you know, and I want to work on these other strains now. And if I lose cherry bomb after all these years, that would be a really stupid thing, you know. So I realized I gotta, you know, my idea was to make it, make a public domain, you know, make be the first guy to create a public domain strain, you know. So I was just sending it out to anybody, you know, who would work with it. And you know, some, I was the first guy that, that was a big I don't know if anybody remembers that. It was a big fiasco with what's his name? Can't remember. Anyway, and he was trying to tell me that it was all, they were all Hermes. He was like, oh, cherry bombs are, all the plants were Hermes. What was that guy's name? Weed, no, something, can't remember his name. And you know, he was commercial, he was selling it. He crossed with something else that he had that was supposedly called cherry bomb or whatever, and immediately, you know, sort of lost the lineage of it. Can't remember that guy's name.
Well,
But then I sent it
I've
to Swami.
found
What's that?
any. I've
Sorry.
not found any Hermes in yours. I've
No.
gotten like three different versions of your cherry bomb, and I've not had Hermes in any of them.
No. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I didn't, you know, I, for one thing, I mean, you know, I exclusively bred it from male and female plants for you know, whatever, 13 generations. And I rejected any, I even reject male, I don't think there were any, or maybe there were, there could have been, you know, along the way, but if there was, I would have just, you know, taken them out. I don't breed with Hermes because it's hard to tell, you know, you gotta have control of the situation. You know what I mean? It's too much guesswork in it. And,
Also, too, like you've talked about before, like stressing your plants too, and to suss out those hermy traits. And I know that you're talking about testing and running the batches before releasing them, you know, multiple times.
yeah.
That's something that I know you do, but some, you know, you've really talked about that in the past too, about stressing them out, or you know, throwing them in the sun or putting them in the shade or whatever else to kind of like force induce that to find those herms to get rid of them.
Yeah, you know, I for years my veg light was just right outside the door of of the sort of walk-in closet that I was using for flowering, and there were tons of light leaks going on there. I mean, the flowering, you know, the if the little curtain from the veg part was open still a little bit, it would just shine right in on the flowering plants after they went dark. Never did I see, you know, I really think that I think the cause of Hermes is mostly genetic, but of course there's obviously, you know, environmental things too and stresses. But certain of them are more we were talking about, I think, you know, possibly too much nitrogen in flowering or anything that causes the roots to grow. Maybe sometimes those what do you call them, the Vita Thrives, and you know, the B vitamins and things like that. Those kinds of things might possibly, just by causing the roots to grow at kind of the wrong time when the plants is trying to flower, you know, it's like, you know, and then you're then doing something to, you know, stimulate more root growth or something like that. I think that can, that might be one of the causes. No, but I've
The
got
other
some
bit
plants.
too is excess nitrogen. You know, if you
Yeah,
slam
excess.
your nitrogen or way too high nitrogen in flower, you're gonna
For
increase your herm
sure.
chances a lot.
For sure. And but interestingly, on a side note, I'm just now learning how to use nitrogen, thanks to you, Steve, because of making seed, because it's really important when you're making seeds. if you're only making a few seeds on the bottom of the plant, which is what I always did, right? For decades, I've always used a brush, and I just hand pollinate, you know, parts of the bottom of the plant, and I get my seeds off the bottom, and then I have regular flowers up the top. And that doesn't, you know, doesn't tax the plant very much. But when you baptize the plant, when you take a male and you just go plosh like that and pollinate an entire plant, you've really got to feed. You've really got to feed. And the key, thank you, Steve, is nitrogen. Well, it's one of the keys. You probably have enough of the other thing. My soil, I probably have enough potassium and salt, you know,
The
phosphorus.
yeah, so what he's saying is that, and this is totally true, if you're doing large seed production on a plant, remember, what are those seeds? Those seeds have a bunch of stored nitrogen in it, right? So if you're running them in flower, you and you're seeding them, you basically want to keep the nitrogen level at that elevated rate the same as you would in veg. So you want to make sure you're dosing much higher nitrogen levels in flower if you are doing seed production, versus if you're not doing seed production.
That's right. And
And
the
you'll have a
leaves,
much larger seed, you'll have better germination rate, you'll have like more, you
harder
know,
shells.
faster finishing, harder shells. Like it just makes the seeds much better.
Yep. And the other thing is that you'll still probably get fall foliage. You'll probably still, you know, if the plants are genetically like that, you'll still get the yellowing leaves and everything. They'll still, plants still moving nutrients around, you know. Even though, so I mean, you practically can't feed if the plant's totally seeded. You can't give it enough nitrogen to prevent it from the leaves are going to yellow anyway, which is good because it tastes better that way, I think. Yeah, connoisseur cannabis has. I've always kind of believed in the end starve, you know, starving the end towards the end. Really give it a chance to. Yeah.
That was a great
Like,
breeding tip, but what other breeding tips do you have for people that are just getting started that can kind of help them? Like, that's a huge tip, increasing the nitrogen in flower for seed production if you're just doing seed production. What are
definitely.
some of the other things that you've noticed over the years? You have 30, 40 years of breeding experience. Tell us some of
You
the other
know,
things that you've learned.
I think it's really important to, I think I realized recently, I think one of the most important things about cannabis breeding is not to limit yourself to looking at only a few traits, right? It's really important to really look at look at a lot of traits, look at the whole plant, you know, everything, rooting, you know, vigor, distant, internodal, everything, structure, everything. You just got to look at everything because we're not, you know, we don't have the luxury of, you know, taking a yellow crookneck squash and breeding it into a straight neck just so it can fit in the, you know, containers. That would be great, you know, if that's all you had to do, you know, to fix one trait and change, you know, and okay, got a cool new. But cannabis is really complex, you know, and there's just so many things, you know, so many traits. And but I also, you know, don't be afraid to cross. People think that you know, mixing colors is going to make automatically make brown and stuff like that, but it definitely is not true. There's a tremendous amount of variation in cannabis. There's tons. You can even find new variation. New stuff comes up. You know, you would think, well, if you cross these things, then you're only going to get the traits that are out of those lines, those families. Nothing else can happen, but that's not true. Stuff does pop up, new things happen, and you got to really be open to that. You know, you really got to be I think it's very important to look at plants for a long time, like plan to sit there and really stare at them. You know, seedlings, I mean, you got to get to know them, you know, and you don't have that long. It's not really that long, you know what I mean? They're going to grow up, you're going to flower them. These days, I like to make narrow down choices after looking at plants grow a few times, even, you know, I clone it and grow it again, and clone it and grow again, because it takes a while to get to know, even when you have a lot of, and maybe the more experience you have, the more time it takes, or the more you're going to look at. But I think it's very important to consider lots and lots of traits and choose males well. A really good tip is try to use the number of males that you think is about equal to the number of suitable females. So say you plant 24 seeds and you got 12 females, but you really only think about four of them have what you want. Four of them are more or less, you know, in that category, then it's going to be about the same number of males. You know, you probably want to find, and I always add another one. I like to have another extra male because I kind of believe in the idea that males are often carry more variability than females, which is a kind of an interesting idea. That maybe some of the real outlier plants that you have, some of the real, the ones that are on the edges of the bell curve, those ones might be males, and they often are. I mean, you find really exceptional males. You know, that's a very important thing. So yeah, choosing the same number of males, maybe around the same number of males as females. So you have four potential males, four potential females that you think are pretty good out of these 24 that you started. Now that's not a hard number. I'm not saying that's always what it's going to be, because with some other seed batches, it might be a much smaller one. You might only have the one. I only like this one. Or there might be a whole bunch of them. It might be half of them have what, you know, have what you've decided. Or that doesn't mean even that you have to start with a plan. I'm not even suggesting, although I really do think that that's kind of important, you know, is to kind of have your goals to start with and to continue to see them through. But if you're just beginning to breed, then I don't think pollen chucking is so bad. I think that you you know, what I think is really important is making labels. You got to label everything, you know what I mean? I think that's the real, that's the hard thing to kind of, you got to be, I'm a label Nazi. You got to be just, you know, you have to have backup plans for when you F up, you know, when you mislabel, when something happens, because it will. And you have to have a way of being able to figure it out, you know, what, how you screwed up the labels, because that's the bottom line. Labels. let's see, what else? Yeah. What am I missing?
Oh,
What's good about
somebody
the
in chat asked if you can sing your theme song.
What is my theme song? Oh, yeah. Da, dun, 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 dun. Now see me. Who is that asking about that? Is that my daughter?
I
Dun,
don't know.
dun,
Somebody in
dun,
chat
dun,
was
dun,
asking about
dun. Something like that.
if you can
Dun,
sing
dun,
your
dun,
acapella
dun.
theme song,
Yeah, it's
Mr.
the,
Green Jeans Garden.
yeah, it's the son of Mr. Green Jeans, right? And the song was written by Frank Zappa in 1969. It's a Zappa tune, circa 1969. You can find it in the fake books sometimes, in the jazz fake books. Yeah, think of this as that. Dun, 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 something. Dun, 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 dun. I can't. That's about all I can barely. I can't hear it. I don't actually know the song that well. But okay. So my friend who is a jingle singer and a real expert in music gave me that name, I would say around 1979. So anyone who else is trying to co-opt the name of Mr. Green Jeans, just want to say that I've been Mr. Green Jeans for a hell of a long time there, son. So
Oh man, last time that ended up in the kerfuffle. We won't go there again. What do we have here? Another question from chat. What other genetics are you currently working with for this year?
Other than the stuff that I have on this list, there's actually a bunch. There's a lot of other stuff that was just on other, you know, that I have that I've still made seeds from. Like I said, that pineapple jack, that's crazy. And then I back cross that to the jack, so I also have 3/4 jack, 1/4 Feijoa Kush. I have a 3/4 jack female. That's I've already progeny tested those. That's fantastic, really fantastic. And then of course I'm working with the stuff that, you know, our jams, me and Steve.
Yeah, tell
I
us
hadn't.
about that one. You have a Jamaican Orange Hillbou Mountain crossed with
With cherry bomb, I cross
Cherry
it with.
Bomb. Yeah.
I cross it with a cherry bomb, and that's what this is, the jammy bomb right here, is the Jamaican, that's ours. I don't know what I just gave it, you know, that I mean I'm you know, or you have it on there, but yeah, it doesn't focus. Yeah, that is, I mean, I just gave it that name because that's what, it's a jam, it's our jam. But yeah, the cherry bomb should be perfect crossed with that, because those are big. I wouldn't say It's not really a sativa dominant. It's got quite a bit of indica in it, the Orange Hill, the Blue Mountain X Orange Hill. But those are that's just really nice stuff. That's just fine. And yeah, that you know, I have other I've crossed those plants with some other males as well that I'll send you some of those. I'm gonna send off your pack this week. I'm going to. But
I found some original blue hash seeds that I didn't think I had any more of,
oh, I
actually.
need those. I need those. I need
Yes,
those because I
they're going
love
to you,
that.
don't worry.
I love that blue hash plant. That's one of my favorite plants that I got from you. That is fantastic. I was gonna cry. I was gonna. In fact, I've already made seeds of that. With White Wizard, is a really good mate with that, with the blue hash, White Wizard and blue hash.
So here, I thought you'd enjoy this. Let me pull this up on a separate thing here. Actually, I could zoom in a little bit so it's a little bigger for the screen here. I have all of your seeds. I think it's all. I thought we could, if there's anything else, Blue Blizzard.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is all the stuff I have from you.
That. Oh yeah. Oh, that BSBB male. That's fantastic. Oh, you have blue hash and BSBB? Ah,
Yeah.
okay. Go to town on that. Oh boy. Yeah, because that BSBB plant is really nice. That's the one that has that one is one quarter island sweet skunk, that male, that BSBB male. That's super nice. I don't have that anymore. Wish I did.
Well, if you need these back, let me know. I'll send you anything back.
No,
Don't worry.
what I want is a meal, a pure meal of the blue hash. If you have got other seeds of the blue
Oh,
hash,
yeah.
because I
I
want to
have a
find.
small amount of original stock left.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want that. I want that. Okay. Oh, you're going too fast. You're going too fast. Oh, the Jackie. Oh, that should. Oh, the Jackie. Oh, that's Oreo. Yeah. Oh, and that's another thing is everybody's really getting into the really up. Now everybody wants something with THCV in it, you know what I mean? With the vivarium, you know, now it's which is
All
funny
right.
because
Here's
we were asking.
the trick to THCV, and I have kept this like top secret for a very long time, but I will share it here because at this point I think it's worth sharing. Okay, here's the trick for THCV that no one kind of figured out, that we kind of figured out by accident. All right. So we had a one of the places I was growing at in Colorado, we had an aquaponic, bunch of different aquaponic setups. There was like three or four different systems in the garage that were all set up. We had cannabis plants and all of them flowering out. It's all a flowering room, but we had like curtains so that we could have like three separate flowering zones and kind of basically get like one a month. It's kind of the idea. One of the sets, the water pump, the timer, like the kind that has little plastic pins and it rotates. Well, the pin broke. It broke, right? Because it was just old. So the pin broke. So it was turning on. And then shutting off once a day, but then not getting any other time in the water. So it was only getting water for like part of the day, but it was in media beds for the bottom half. So it was like drying out and like getting to the point of wilting, every time before it get watered again. And it was like when we would go in and work in there, it was when it would get water, right? So we didn't notice it because we were always there after work. You know what I mean? So to me, it didn't look to us like there's been a lot of plants, but going back afterwards, we figured out what happened. So the plant getting wilted every day and then coming back, again, gently wilted, like to the point of not damaged, but like drooping down as you would, and then coming back up, increased those plants. We had plant testing like 16 to 18% THCV off of the blue hash that was from that you have. And versus like 2 to 3% off of the rest of it on the upper, and again, I'm talking the upper end of the batches, out of that. So that's, that was same genetic, same clone, same mom. But that was something that we tested and figured out. So like the tr whatever it is, the Veron, gene or expression is really triggered to that water stress hormone or
Water
that
stress.
damage from like light damage or hormone responses from that water wilting. But
Wow.
waiting till the plants absolutely have to have water, before you water them every time, for the flowering cycle is the trick for that. And it's something that I haven't really told publicly before.
Wow, that's super cool. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
With
got
the
Shirley Temple cherry bomb.
yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's pretty cool. Shirley Temple is one that I have that has super high CBD and THC numbers.
Exactly.
Really, really crazy high numbers for
Yep.
both.
Yep. You
It was
could.
from some of the same parentage stock from
Yeah.
Charlotte's Web, the Root 4.
Yeah, it was Charlotte's Web X, pink champagne or something like that, right?
I forget. I have photos of the original lineage from the first one I got it from in Colorado. I got it from DOS originally in Colorado. I think it was him. I have to go back and look. I know I have photos of the lineage somewhere.
Oh, you got the Sherwood Templeton.
Yeah. The Brandywine White Wizard is really fucking fire. I've grown that. Blue Hash White Wizard is really good. Yeah.
Incredible.
It's
Yeah, I
nice
mean
to
that's
have all my stuff typed up now. This isn't all my stuff, but I
damn,
still have like
that's awesome.
80%, 60% left to go
Yeah.
into the catalog. But this is just green jeans. This is just your stuff.
Oh, that Oreo X Pineapple Jack, that should be nice too. That's,
Yeah.
you know, the thing about the Oreos, you know, that's 50% Durban poison, you know. So, but now you get the, when you cross it with something, you get the Durban poison in the grandmother position, F2, you know, F2 position. So, I think there's about 20% of the plants, anything off of Oreo, about 20% of the plants are going to be maybe a little bit low THC. So usually when I give people an extra pile off the Oreo, tell them to plant a few, you know, plant 25% more, 20% more than you really want, because I'm going to get a bunch of great fire plants, but the Durban poison mom, I would say her was really good, but it was a low, you know, kind of a low THC sativa, maybe around, I don't know, 12% or something like that. And a lot of people might be like, oh man, that's way too weak. But actually, I've had some friends that preferred, it got some of those, had grown out plants from Oreo and got some of those lower THC plants, and those were the ones they liked. So you never know. I mean, you know, to everybody's taste, but just saying that the normal higher level THC plants, they're just a percentage of when you get off Oreo, but it's worth it. It's worth putting up with a few, with a little bit of hay. Well, I don't know, I shouldn't call it hay, because you know, the low THC beautiful sativa dominant plants can be really something, man. It could be some of the really nice experiences in cannabis, in my opinion. I don't know. Have you? I mean, yeah, depend. I'm sure you've smoked some low sativa THC that
Oh yeah.
just blew you away, or was like, wow, that's fantastic.
Well, there was a really fire, like anything banana terps, like just
Yeah.
rocked shit out of me. I've noticed in particular. So like there was
Interesting.
like a banana something I had one time that was like 14 or 16%, and it
Yeah.
like fucked me up. And I had just smoked a bunch of other weeds. I was at Ammo Cup and I had smoked a ton of other stuff, but I hit that and I was like,
Yeah.
I got my bell rung for a minute. I sat there for about 5 or 10 minutes. But that definitely, that's the thing too, is like people need to know what their terpene, sensitivities are too. Like what really helps you and makes you feel awesome, but also the opposite too. Like I know people that are deathly allergic to limonene and like have anaphylaxis and stuff like that.
Oh
So they'll have
wow.
like
Ooh.
throat closing and severe symptoms from limonene. And that I've
Ooh.
met 4 or 5 people that have limonene sensitivity. So, if you're
Wow.
allergic to a certain food and you know it, like, look at what those terpenes are in that and consider whether or not any of the strains that you're purchasing have those or don't have those, because it absolutely could like help you avoid an unpleasant afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
And I think it's something that people need to talk more about with cannabis safety is like, look, if you have a citrus allergy or some other thing, like don't have lemonine dominant stuff, you know what I mean? Or avoid stuff that has it at all. But and when you go to the dispensary, ask for them to, just have that or that. They all have to have in most states now terpene testing and cannabinoid testing. So they have a printed copy there somewhere, even if you have to ask for it. So it can help you if you're having kind of a weird reaction once in a while on a certain strain. It might be because you have a sensitivity to one of the terpenes.
And I think the terpene profile is ultimately, I think, to me, a lot more important than, THC. Don't even get me started on this whole THC content thing. But everybody in the dispensaries and it's, but because, right, moisture content is gonna play a big role there, isn't it? I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, so when they do the testing for that, so they dry it down to a certain point, or there's a dryness range. I mean, obviously you could come in with super dry stuff, but there's usually a kind of a standard for that.
Because I mean, I think the best moisture range for cannabis is probably almost 60%, or right, 55.
When you get it tested, it tells you the moisture percentage, right? And that factors into the potency calculations and all. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then, or like
But
the
still.
process of running like a, if you're cooking it to test the stuff, you're cooking off all the water. You know what I mean?
But I still feel like the terpene profile is at least as if not more important. You know what I mean? It really modifies. It's like just saying that THC content is just part of the story. It's not, you
Well,
know what I
yeah,
mean?
it's like a synergistic effect. Each terpene has different beneficial effect too. Anyone that has done herbalism or essential oil stuff knows that, hey, this helps with this, that helps with that, and so on and so forth. So, that combination of that with your different receptors, cannabis is only your CB1 and CB2, but there's lots of other receptors. In fact, they've found up to CB5 now, I think. We've covered the receptors now. There's a CB3 and a CB4 and a CB5. There's probably more that they just haven't quite figured out yet. So, yeah, I think we talked about that on an episode with one of our guests. Maybe it was Kevin McKernan. I forget. We got to get him back on the show again. He's got a lot of cool stuff he's been doing in the cannabis field lately too. He's always releasing great papers. Check him out if you haven't. But
Who is it? What, Ke Kevin? What is it?
Kevin
What's his name?
McKernan.
Oh yeah. Do I know him? Maybe or no? I don't know. Maybe.
He might have been on an episode with him in earlier.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. Cool.
If you have any other questions in chat, let us know. Any other things you wanted to mention that you're working with genetic-wise this year, as far as what you're growing or breeding with?
Sure, I'll think of something when we get on. Please lag off. Can't. I think we've covered a lot of it. Let me see whether there was something else.
Oh, you know what else it was that we had the other day that I got a hold of is and we're gonna have a release of this too. It's some Freaky Bastard. So it's a freak show crossed with Australian Bastard Cannabis, and there's like five or six different leaf structure phenos of it
Oh,
that
so
are gonna
these are
be listed in it.
the what we were talking about before, the mutations, like mutated leaf shapes. These are, very cool. And it's called Freak Show. Yeah,
Yeah,
you
Freak
might.
Show is the like fan leaf. In fact, hold on. I can pull up some photos.
Oh, okay, cool. Mutated cannabis.
This is one of them. So this is what I'm talking about. So this is like more of an ABC structure.
Whoa, wee. Holy moly. That doesn't even look like cannabis.
No. I guess
God
cool
damn.
little small bug. It's not
Wow.
super heavy either. It's a novelty plant, but they grow slow. They stay super compact. They grow
Wow.
about 20% slower than most plants, maybe 30% slower.
And this is, it grows from seed. You don't have to have a cut
Yeah,
of
yeah.
this. You can grow
No,
it
no,
from
no.
seed. Wow,
Yeah.
wee.
And
That is
then,
cool. So there's probably variability. They're not all exactly
so
like
here's
that.
a, right, so check it out. This is a different one. See, it's more of a rounded leaf.
Whoa, yeah. That's bitching.
And
Dude,
this
that's
is a
pretty.
different
It's like
plant.
it's ornamental, man.
Yeah, see a different structure?
Really nice.
That's in the Freaky Bastard genetics. That's one of the Freaky Bastards. But see, it's
Oh,
totally
there's the
fucking.
flower. Yeah. Is that
That's
a
a,
male
no, those
flower?
are just, that's in veg. That's a
Mm.
veg plant.
Oh, it is? Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that cool though? For the
Beautiful.
structure.
Really nice.
I want to get a couple of those off to you.
That's
Here's a
beautiful.
more of a freak show. This is a freak show type of same genetic. That's also a freaky bastard. It's the same species.
Wow.
Just a different expression on this.
That's like a marigold or something. Look at that. Holy
Yeah.
moly.
So that's the other one that's in those freaky bastards. So, and then there's other mixes of those, like Canatai has a bunch on his stuff.
Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, and I got to send you, I have seeds for the Mikuna beans too.
Yeah, so I found
Included
some.
there.
You did send me
Ah.
four before.
Oh, okay,
I
cool.
did find some when we went through all of the stuff. They were just in with the weed seeds.
Nice. Mikuna beans. Let's see. We had some other cool, weird kinds of plants that, like, who ever heard of? I couldn't believe. That is an obscure plant, right? Mikuna prurience, right? Isn't it? Yeah, Mikuna
Yeah,
beans.
hold
Yeah,
on, I'll pull
when
it up here for this.
I mentioned it, and you were like, "Oh, of course, we grew that down in Jamaica." I was like, "What? You did?" It's the
Yeah.
L-Dopa plant. It's the plant that could cure Parkinson's or whatever, right? It can
It helps with
treat
dementia quite
Parkinson's.
a bit. Yeah.
An amazing, talk about an incredible medicinal plant. Yeah, the beautiful flowers. Yes.
Yeah, flowers are beautiful. So
Yeah.
this is the seed pods. That's like fiberglass.
Yeah.
If like it is
Do
stuck.
not
Don't
touch.
ever pick them with your bare hands. You will regret it for weeks. Like it is nasty fucking beans. But you take them with gloves on, heavy leather gloves, take them off and you put them in a little warm water and it fucking like neutralizes them. And then you can get the beans out.
And the
But
beans
you just
are
crack the
actually,
pods open, you know, with your gloves on.
they're pretty good. They taste like, when you boil them and cook them, they taste just like regular beans. I don't know if you're getting an L-Dopa overdose or anything. I didn't have that many of them, so I didn't eat many, but they tasted pretty good. And they don't
Yeah, what
taste
I like to do is
medicinal.
take these, soak them in some water, and the fucking skins get soft, and like it'll expand, and then you can break them off, swallow those, and then like roll the insides in your mouth, and you can like absorb the L-DOPA and some of the other compounds that way. And if you eat like 20 or 30 of them, you'll feel pretty good. It'll feel like you've had a couple of, you know, glass or two of wine,
Really, and
and a couple of bong rips.
you don't cook them, you just soak it
I
in
just
water.
eat them and you like roll them in your teeth and kind of like over like 5 or 10 minutes, kind of like grind them down like in your mouth and like kind of take them sublingually basically. And you'll have a good effect on me. I've had some crazy experiences doing that and that were very, very good.
Really? Wow. Very cool. Oh yeah, see, they're beautiful beans, aren't they?
Yeah. There's a long history of medicinal use in Pakistan and India and Africa. with this plant. And it's a great
Yes.
one to grow. You can grow it annually in the US. Maybe if you're in the far southern Texas or Florida, you may be able to get away
You
with
got
it
to be
in
pretty far south. You got to be pretty far
the
south. I don't know if
Just
you
to
can
handle
grow.
cold at all. Yeah.
Quiet.
Maybe San
Sorry.
Diego, you could get away with it, but
It took them a long time to flower, even here in Southern California. It's a
yeah.
long.
But they are a great plant. If you have someone that's like recovering from an injury, recovering from
Really?
surgery, yeah, it's really, really good. And it has like, yeah, all different types of interesting compounds in it. High in protein, it helps you repair your muscles and other stuff injury. Has another product compound in it that like there's like this chemical that tumors release to like get new blood flow, and it's slightly different than the one that the body makes for the muscles. So it like binds on to that like weird imposter molecule so that your body like doesn't give tumors like new blood flow as much. So it like
Wow.
helps other treatments that you're going through like have more time to work. My grandmother swore by it, and she beat a whole bunch of, and she had cancer 11 times. So my grandfather worked on a bunch of nuclear stuff and other weapons stuff in the military, and she was living there too. There had been families out there back in the day, and she would always take it after, before and after she'd go have her surgeries and stuff. And that's how I found out about it originally from my grandmother.
Cool. You know what I've been
Just
doing?
for, I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say that what I've been doing lately is methylene blue. You know anything about that?
Yeah, we used to use it
For fish.
for fish, yeah, for
I
the egg,
know.
especially if they're spawning, it prevents fungus on the eggs.
Totally. I was scared as hell to try it first because exactly, we used to use it for fish. We treat the turtles with it. But you can eat, you can ingest it in very small doses. They're actually testing it for possibly treats Alzheimer's. It probably maybe even reverses it and stuff like that. And it's quite noticeable, actually. As soon as you try, as soon as you eat some, it's amazing. It like beefs up your memory and your it's and you should it's a big wormhole to get into because at first it's like what you can't eat what methylene blue isn't that poisonous? It's like our oldest synthetic medicine. It was invented like in the 1860s or something like that when originally it was just used as a dye. But some people, researchers and doctors started using it to try and stain tissue, cells and be able to look at them under microscopes. And then it was used to treat all kinds of things along the way. It was used to treat malaria. It was used to treat the flu during the great flu epidemic. It's been used for a lot of different things. It's actually a really important medicine in the emergency room in the ER. It's called a my friend who's a pharmacist told me that's called a pressor, which is something when somebody comes in and all their organs are failing in the ER and the person's dying, they don't know what it is, don't know what's going on with them, they'll inject methylene blue into them in the bloodstream. And sometimes it fixes people up. It does something to the electron chain in your immune system, or is it in your and I forget what the term is, but it gives it make creates like extra it creates an ATP molecule somehow through your metabolism, does something with the electron chain. Creates extra oxygen, makes you feel like you've got extra air. It makes you feel like you can breathe really easily. And it also makes your memory really sharp. You can remember a whole bunch of stuff. My friend who's a Vietnam vet couple of years older than me. He was like, "Oh man, it was I was remembering too much stuff." He says, "I didn't even want to think about all that stuff." And you know, he's remembering things from the war and stuff.
I had no idea about this, though.
Methylene blue, right?
Methylene
Methylene
blue and
blue.
ATP. It says methylene blue is known to have a role in the mitochondrial electron
There you
transport
go,
chain, which
mitochondrial
is
electron. Thank you,
critical to
electrons.
aerobic production of ATP. It can act
Yes.
as an alternative electron carrier in this chain, helping to improve efficiency of oxidative phosphorylation. Some giant
Yep.
words. I'm gonna try
So what you
under
could,
certain conditions.
if you get it, you can get you should get the kind that's USDA approved. And you can get a 1% solution. So you can, and you can buy it through a couple sources on Amazon and stuff
That's
like that.
crazy. I didn't know that.
You buy the 1% solution, make sure that it's USDA. And so I've been eating, I'll do like 10 drops. There's a body weight calculation, which would, and it would be much higher than 10 drops for me. It would be for my body weight, it'd be something like 80 drops. And I've never done anywhere near that because you can feel actually a much smaller, you can actually feel a quite a small dose. Like you can feel the 10 drops, 12 drops just in dissolved in water. You drink it and man, you're gonna get a buzz. You're gonna be amazed. It's
That's
really something,
interesting.
man. I highly recommend fooling around with methylene blue.
I
It's a real kick, man.
am never would have thought that having these
I know,
fishes is a
right?
fungus on my fucking fish egg.
We're old fish guys, man. I'm an old fish guy too. It's like, what? I'm not touching that methylene blue. Okay, so I don't know if I told you. So a couple of months ago, I got it. I really got into it. And maybe we talked about it before. I really got into a bunch of different kinds of lactobacillus. I found, and so I was into the gut, you know, lactobacillus in the intestines and in the gut and everything like that. And first, I came over there from plants, but I was looking at all the kinds of cool things that are, you know, that are in the plant microbiome that when we eat raw plant or whatever like that, you know, those things go into our, so a lot of phytochemicals and everything are really good for your, you know, for your gut microbiome and everything. So I went into this whole rabbit hole about lactobacillus and different kinds of strains, which you can buy as probiotics in, you know, you can go into the health food store and buy pill form probiotics, many different kinds of lactobacillus. And you can culture these into yogurt, right? So you can take those different strains of lactobacillus and you can make yogurt with them. So there's a couple of strains which are really cool and very important. One of them is Lactobacillus reuteri, which is like spelled like Reuters, like the news, Reuteri. Like, have you heard the news? The reuteri. So these things you can really feel when you start eating. When you start eating the yogurt made with some of these kind of kinds of cool kinds of lactobacillus, they you can really you can I would never believe that a food could be so noticeably medicinal, you know, until I tried some of these things. But I wasn't scared of that at all. I dived right into it, and so I ended up noticing a lot of the symptoms about, like for example, the Lactobacillus reuteri, before I went ahead and read about other people's experiences with it. So I didn't do any research before it because I wasn't afraid of the Lactobacillus. I was brave with the Lactobacillus, but when it came to the methylene blue, on the other hand, us being these old fish guys, I was totally paranoid. You know, I was like, not trying that stuff. So I had to do. I had to do tons and tons of research on it, and there isn't much information on eating it orally. There is a ton of information on it. It's one of our oldest medicines on using it intravenously because we've been doing that. You know, we have a lot of experience with it, you know. But this whole thing of low dose LD or you know LDMB or low dose methylene blue, you know, there's a Reddit, there's a subreddit. Methylene blue, if anybody wants to get on there and read about it. Because there's people on there that have been doing it 10, maybe 20 years, have been eating the oral dose methylene blue. But yeah, it's scary. I mean, the lactobacillus, I wasn't scared of it at all, you know. And that ended up being kind of interesting because I noticed a bunch of symptoms before having read about them at all. So I knew there wasn't a placebo effect, right? But with the methylene blue, I'd already read about everybody else's, what they were going to say. So that's why maybe I shouldn't have said, but well, you're going to read about it too. But I totally recommend anybody out there, older guys, you're going to love it. You're going to be like, whoa.
You put methylene blue in your yogurt? You have blue
Yeah,
yogurt?
I've never tried that. I haven't tried that yet, but maybe I will. No, I just put it in the water. I just drink it in the water. But yeah, you should mix it with the yogurt. No, because it might kill it, huh? The methylene blue is like a disinfectant or something, isn't it? I feel like I drink a lot of water with it and then sip some coffee.
Don't know if it's antimicrobial. I know it's antifungal, but I don't know about bacteria. I don't think it is in bacteria. It doesn't
Maybe
crash
not.
the cycle of an aquarium, so it's not going to kill the bacteria.
Maybe not.
Yeah. No, yeah, it
That's
doesn't
it.
crash the cycle in an aquarium, so it's clearly not touching the
Oh, okay. So then, all right.
Acetobacter.
I
Not
didn't know that.
Acetobacter.
Yeah.
Yeah, man,
Yeah.
I'm too tired to
I
remember
know
this
what you
right
mean.
now,
I
but
know what you mean. The guy's living in the biofilter.
yeah.
The dude's living in the biofilter. Yeah. I understood what you meant, but yeah. Yeah, so yeah, methylene blue, man. Some good stuff. Lactobacillus reuteri. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. One of them was called was it Bacillus subtilis? Was not even a lactobacillus. And Bacillus subtilis is, believe it or not, let's see, GRAS, generally recognized as safe by the FDA, I guess, or whoever was it that certifies it. And but the Bacillus subtilis has survived on the space station, being exposed to gamma rays and ultraviolet light. They use those ultraviolet light sterilizers and stuff in the hospitals and stuff. This stuff, you probably wouldn't kill it, right? Or what? The
Yeah,
bacillus subtilis.
the lactose
Huh?
I really like to use. This is Steve from BioWorks. They have a really good Bacillus subtilis strain.
Subtilis.
Yeah, and it works really good for getting rid of fungal diseases, so preventing powdery
It
mildew
does.
and botrytis and stuff like
Well, it
that.
makes good yogurt. It makes fine yogurt. And you can eat it. Why not?
I don't know if you eat that product, but yes, the other
That's
strains make great yogurt
well,
or a part of yogurt.
yeah. But yeah, so I tested. I bought like seven different, different. I can't list them all right now because this was a few months ago, but I tested them all. We're eating, the Reuteri is really good. Turns out Reuteri is in almost every mammal. It's even in some birds. And it's found in most native people's population. If you go down to Peru or whatever, almost everybody has Reuteri in their gut there. But here in the first world population, maybe only 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10 people, maybe 1 out of 10 people, I think it is, or maybe 1 of 20, something like that. Oh, nobody has it. It's easy to
Mr.
kill. What?
Green Jeans have the blue go-gurt is the one you want
Yeah, right. The methylene blogurt, the bluegurt. Totally, man. Eee. Cool.
to
Well,
get.
do we?
Anything else you wanted to mention here before we wrap up?
I think we covered it all. Hopefully, making people happy and healthy and stoned out there, feeling good.
If
Yeah, no,
anyone is
that's.
interested to get a hold of him or his genetics, you can check him out here, Mr. Green Jeans Garden on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you.
He posts all the lineages for the stuff he has available, like we
Oh,
talked
there's
about
Rustling.
earlier.
Look at those
Lots of
guys.
other cool stuff.
Ah, look at that. Whoa,
Yeah.
some cool pics. Nice. Well, that's my, yeah, well, there we go. Well, thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Again,
Yeah.
Mr. Joseph, the audio format, Mr. Green Jeans Garden on Instagram. You can hit him up there. Let me, we got one other thing to play here.
I'm going to try to be more of a
If
regular
you're
on the.
looking for more education on aquaponic cannabis, please consider the Aquaponic Cannabis Masterclass at apmjclass.com, featuring over 7 days of in-depth, hands-on educational content with Marty Waddell and Stephen Reisner as your guides through the aquaponic cannabis universe. We'll cover everything from construction of large commercial facilities, home-size systems, backyard systems, nutrients, pest control, diseases, everything you can think of, and so much more. So be sure to check that out at apmjclass.com. And if you're looking for aquaponic cannabis or living soil pest control courses, please check out thepestclass.com, where we have a huge in-depth course on pest control, how to make your own biocontrols, as well as in-depth guides and identification guides for a whole slew of different pests that you might encounter in your aquaponics garden. And it's not strictly just geared towards cannabis. It's also geared towards vegetables as well. So be sure to check that out if it's something you think you might need to improve in your education.
All right, and also don't forget aquaponicmasterclass.com. Throw that up on the screen one more time. That'll be taught in person in Oklahoma, just south of Tulsa, in case you're wanting to go take an all-encompassing aquaponics class. And not specific to cannabis, we will talk about that there too, but this is a separate course from the aquaponic cannabis class. This is a more of a system design and build and advanced chemistry, microbials, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just sure to check that out if you're interested in that. And that's in May, on the 22nd of May through the 26th. Alrighty, one last time. How do people find you there, Mr. Green Jeans?
They're at the Instagram at Mr. Green Jeans Garden on Instagram. Didn't we didn't it just showed there when you did when you were showing it, didn't it? Or
Yeah,
no?
I'll put it back up on the screen here.
Thanks so much for having. There we go. That I don't know if the Mr. Green Jeans Garden .com is not, but that is the isn't there a that's a in Instagram. Although my wife, she handles the Instagram account. I don't know how to use it, but I'm going to learn. Mr. Green Jeans Garden. Yeah, right. I write the whole thing out. I know it's on Instagram. It's, the entire phrase. I think it's all one word.
Yep.
And
And then
yeah,
you
you
can
I
find
get
me on Potent Phonics and all the things. And also I have a great episode over on Grow Talk with Mr. Grow It we did recently. If you haven't checked it out, we had a lot of cool topics. We talked about growing and different tips and tricks in different parts of the world. It was a really fun episode. Also have an episode out coming soon on AI Unchained, where we talk more on the AI. Also check out Copy Less Cultivars, AI. We have lots of cool new upgrades. I've been working on the back end on a lot of the data sets, and we have lots of cool new features that are coming out in version 3. So be sure to check that out. We've been putting a lot of time into that each week. So Copy Less Cultivars on Patreon if you want to get early access. And if not, copylesscultivars.com if you want to learn more about the project. All right, you can find this show on iTunes, Spotify, Rumble. I need to manually upload the episodes to Rumble now, so sometimes it takes me a little bit longer to get them up since YouTube disconnected the auto upload feature. But also over on Odyssey as well now, so you should be able to get the new episodes on Odyssey. I'm trying to diversify away from YouTube. So that we're not only on one platform anymore, because YouTube seems to be getting crazier. And I think with the coming election, they're going to get even more censorship heavy. So I'm just going to make sure we have the videos in multiple places in case something ever happens. Alrighty. Thanks a lot, everybody, for watching. Any last words, Mr. Green Jeans?
Thanks for having me. It's always great to see you, Steve. I try to be more regular over there on that smoke show too. I'll be there.
All right, thanks.